Hey, this is Coach EJ, the brand. Welcome to our podcast today.
Coach Darren the Source. I always jump in on that. Hey, guys, moving ahead with our sign series, and actually someone who's going to be on our Champions Are Built series is a young man who's been with me, God, a couple years now, trained with us. And, you know, had him in high school. He's now moving on to the NFL. And like to introduce Mekhi Polk, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes, sir.
Mekhi, just kind of tell us first. We'll start at the beginning. Might as well. Let's get your origin story. What got you into football? When did you start playing football? What kind of piqued your interest? And just give us a little bit about, your experience growing up as a football player.
I would say I remember I was in LA at the time. This was right when my brother was born, so I might have been like 4 years old, somewhere around there. And I was with my mom and my dad, and we drove, I think we was like walking past this park, and I saw these kids playing football. And ever since then, I was like, oh, I want to play football. And this was around the time where USC was really a powerhouse, and that's when they had Reggie Bush. So I would watch their games and just watch his highlights all the time. And to this day, that's my favorite player ever. So he really sparked my interest a lot with playing football. I wanted to be a running back just like him. And so after that, I started playing organized football at, I want to say, 6 years old. And I played for this organization called the Richmond Steelers. We were really good, team out of the Bay Area. So we played, against all kind of teams, talent. We traveled and all that kind of stuff. I want to say my first year, I played linebacker. I was a par player, so that means I played six plays a game. played six plays a game. I was the youngest, I think, on the team. And I always played up. So, like, I was six and I was playing with, it was kids on the team that was 8, 9 years old. So, and that's my dad always, my parents always pushed me to, play with older people because that would help me elevate my game. So, I want to say after that, going to the off season after that, I worked out with my dad the whole summer, trained a lot, just every day, no breaks. And the next season I play running back, and then that's all she wrote after that. Balled out from there on, and was the best of my team moving forward. Every year after that was the best on the team. And it wasn't until recently, I want to say senior year, where I started to play receiver. My first year of high school, I played receiver a little bit, but I played quarterback, and then I played defense, safety, corner, you name it. So 10th and 11th, I played safety. And senior year is when I really started to play receiver. So I want to say, I'm new to the position a little bit, but those running back skills that I had or that I have helped me, transfer my game over from catching the ball and making moves when I got the ball in my hands. So huge props to my parents, and especially my dad, for, taking a vested interest and training me when I was younger, and always being hard on me.
And to add to that, guys, just want you to know, he's a Bay Area product. He went to El Cerrito High, and then went on to Cal. And what was it, after your first year or second year, you transferred to?
So I went to Cal 2019. That was my first year at Cal. And I played 2 years there. And then after that, I transferred to Mississippi State. So for the pandemic year, I was at Cal. We played 4 games. And then after that, I transferred. And last year, this past year, I played for Mississippi State.
And just so that you guys know, at Mississippi State, he put up some huge numbers. I mean, he put set school records with 105 receptions. That was second in the FBS. And he had 1,046 receiving yards with an average of 10 yards per carry, or 10 yards per reception. Scored, you know, 9 touchdowns and 13 starts. So, yeah, you balled out, man. What was the reason you transferred from, first from in position, from, you know, running back to wide receiver? Why did you make that change? Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about why you made the change from Cal to Mississippi State.
I made the change from running back to receiver. I want to say, I don't think that change was my choice personally. It was like, oh, you getting taller, you getting a lot bigger, you know, that type of deal. And I really wanted to play quarterback, but I don't know. I was considered an athlete in high school, so I just played everything. So it wasn't, I really didn't care what, you know what I'm saying, what I played. It just really came down to my senior year where I was, you know, honing in on playing receiver, and that was just, I could just, you know what I'm saying, that's what I felt was best for me.
Yeah, your body just kind of grew into it, but you didn't fight it. And
yeah.
It sounds like you didn't kind of just say, hey, I'm only going to play this position and that's it. You had the mindset of, hey, I'm a football player, and, you know, you found your fit and you embraced it and went with it, because that's a pretty, pretty quick learning curve to go from where you did in high school to being one of the, you know, top receivers, not only in the country, but, you know, in your conference, but in the country. So that says a lot, man. Says a lot.
I got a question for you, Makai, because this kind of this runs parallel with all sports, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, you made a position change, you embraced it. How long did it take you to embrace it? Was it like overnight, or it took you a while? Because some guys are, you know, don't want to make a change, man, and sometimes they don't understand the change is for the best, you know. How did you handle that? Because I think out there, a lot of athletes, man, they don't get that. Like, baseball players are like ingrained, like, I'm playing shortstop and I'm a shortstop. And
mm-hmm.
How did you do it? Because you're an elite athlete, man. You're an elite athlete. You go into NFL, man. How did you do that, man?
And I would say it wasn't just on me. Just, you know what I'm saying, I think my dad played a big role in that, just always telling me to think logical, all that type of stuff. So basically, he was just like, at first, so going into high school, at first he was like, kind of, oh, you should maybe play defense, you know, that type of deal. So I was thinking about that a little bit. And I think, so, all right, let me break it down like this. I'm sorry. So when I started getting scholarship offers, for safety. That's what that was when I first started getting offers for. And then they started to say, oh, well, he's an athlete, because they saw me playing receiver. So I think when I made that switch from running back to playing really everything, pretty much, I still had that voice, you know, from my dad saying, oh, you should think logical what you were playing in, you know what I'm saying, in college. He was, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, you don't really see a lot of, I would say, he wasn't saying I couldn't or I shouldn't have played running back at all. He was just saying, just think logical. He was asking me, what do I have fun doing? Like, what am I really passionate about? And those 2 years in high school where, 10th, 11th, where I didn't really play offense like that, I missed that side of the ball. I missed having a ball in my hands, and I missed scoring touchdowns. So after that, that's really when I made the switch. Like, I don't care what I play on offense, I just want to play offense again. And, you know what I'm saying, that offense position happened to be receiver. So,
and I think something that's important that you mentioned is that your body changed. And I think athletes and parents need to understand that there are profiles. There are physical profiles for positions. And when these scouts and these recruiters are out there, they're going to be looking for a certain physical profile to fit a position. And I have this conversation with a lot of football players all the time, especially running backs. Well, if you're 5'7", 160 pounds, you're not fitting a D1 profile. So now you got to say, okay, well, what on the field fits my profile as well as my abilities?
Right.
Then you got to kind of match your desires up to that, because in the end, it's a business and it's professional, and they know exactly what they're looking for, and they know what they can get out of certain types of bodies. Mm-hmm. And so if you're one of those guys who, again, like you said, all of a sudden you grew and you start getting this length and you start getting these attributes that are, you know, advantageous to a different position, you can't ignore that if you want to continue to move on to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to kind of reconcile that with, you know, maybe the dreams and aspirations that you might have had younger, you know, in terms of what you really wanted to be. I thought I was going to be a quarter miler. Because everybody, you know, I was probably 5'2", 5'3", 120 pounds. And I had a brother who was 6'2", 200. So everyone says, oh man, with your speed, as soon as you get his size and you're in that height, you know, you're going to be a great quarter miler. I'm 58 and I'm still waiting. And I'm 5'7", 160, 170. It didn't happen. So I had to make the switch. I made the switch to the short sprints, 100, 200, because that was more conducive to my body type and skill set. Just the way it goes, you know, just the way it goes. So, you know, change the dreams.
Yeah, I like that, Aaron. And I hope people out there are listening how, you know, it goes back to what we said before in our sign series with a lot of different athletes we talked with, Aaron, is that they have a strong kind of like, you know, role model or strong father figure or a mother figure that helps them. It, I always say it's really rooted at home, Aaron. And parents out there understand that, you know, things are rooted at home. There's a strong base. There's a role model. It could be anybody. It could be a coach. It could be a father, a mother, a brother, an aunt, uncle. It doesn't matter. But it seems like these athletes that do very well have that figure that helps them get where they need to be, or reasons with them that allows them to make a very sound decision in what they're going forward in their career.
Well, you know, like our podcast that we talked about before, we call it home training. And it's a very integral part to the development of an athlete. And, you know, I can attest to knowing his parents and working with Makai and his brother Izzy the last few years. And while he was in high school, they were on point. You know, they asked the right questions. They weren't, you know, too intrusive. They did what they said they were going to do, and it's been a pleasure working with them. You can see that these boys come from, you know, good people and people who have instilled the right things in them. These guys, him and his brother, they come in, they get to work. You know, they're not flashy guys. They just kind of put their head down, do the work. I even used Makai as an example to one of my middle schoolers who was kind of having a little problem, you know, really staying motivated. I said, look, you know, that's a professional NFL wide receiver over there. Look at how he works. Head down, does what he needs to do, checks in, you know, he's all about business. And I just watching you and you being in the gym, I think is an inspiration to a lot of the younger athletes, and it serves as a model. And you don't have to say anything to them, but they can just see, because a lot of these kids don't. They're so, and it's not their fault, but they're removed from, most people are removed from an elite level of athletics. So they have an ideal of how elite levels operate, but that's just from what they see on TV, which a lot of times is stereotypical. A lot of times is just highlight oriented. You know, it's not the day-to-day work that an athlete puts in, and that's not sexy. It's not, you know, it's not a quick video clip. It's just, hey, this is what you do. And I like that these kids can see that in someone like you when they come in, someone like Robert Stevenson when he comes in, and they can say, okay, that guy's really not that much different than me and how I work, and I can get there too. And maybe it corrects some athletes. So no, I appreciate it when you come into the gym.
You know? Thank
you. Cause you don't go Hollywood on everyone, unlike another wide receiver I've had in the past with the initials of AB. So it's completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And yeah. Pleasure having this guy in there.
Go ahead, because I think it's leading to another question. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I just wanted to get back on track on something that I've admired Makai about, and that was his decision to go from one school to another. And I always talk about that, and I think it's impressive to me because a lot of athletes don't take ownership and don't take power in their careers. And then other people do that for them. And then the careers don't end up the way they want them to be or where they want them to be. And no one knows you better than you. And that's what you have to lean on. If that inner voice is saying, hey, look, it's time to make a change, this isn't the best situation, then I like to see athletes do that. And I applaud them when they do that. And I want people to understand, or I want the athletes to understand that they have that power. They don't have to stay in a situation that isn't what's best for them. And I talk about, and I don't know, maybe this is wide receivers, but I tell this story all the time about my former roommate, Anthony Miller. Right. He was a track athlete, came to San Diego State, and he wanted to play football, and they wouldn't let him play football. The track coach wouldn't let him play football. And he said, you know, I know I could be a good football player. He walked away from a full scholarship, track scholarship, and went back to JC for, I think it was a year, got recruited by Tennessee, then drafted, I think a second round pick by the Chargers, had a 10-year NFL career, something like 6-time Pro Bowler. He's also on our Champions Are Built series. So great interview with him, look forward to that. But and back then it was a lot harder. You didn't have the portal. So he really was doing something that, you know, was a pretty hard route and very easy to, for you to say, I'll just be content with where I'm at.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's where my admiration comes from, because I see a lot of athletes who don't do that. And they wallow in situations that you want to enjoy sports and you don't want to look back with regrets. And sports is a very short time in our lives. And so I think you should go for it on your terms and not anyone else's. So anyway, that's my long speech to lead into your situation. So tell us about it, Makai.
My first year at Cal, I want to say I didn't become a starter till after Washington State. So we played Washington State, and it's crazy because I played against some of my teammates from high school and some people that I grew up with and I knew from the area. So going into that game, I didn't know how much I was gonna play. I didn't really know. I just knew that whatever opportunity I get, I'm gonna capitalize on it. So late in the game, I scored on a 52-yard screen pass, and that helped us win the game. And after that, I started starting for the rest of the season. So I become the leading receiver for the rest of the season. I was pretty much the go-to guy for the remainder of that season. And going into the next season, you know, I would have talks with my position coach, and he was telling me, basically that going into season that I was going to be the go-to, I was going to be the guy, you know, all that type of stuff. And I, you know what I'm saying? I believed it, because I'm like, man, I just came off a you know, a pretty good freshman year season. I ended the last game of the season with 105 yards on 5 catches in a bowl game. So I'm like, man, like, yeah, like I believe that I could be I'm gonna be the guy as well. So we go into the season, and it wasn't really any of that. I was always getting rotated. So we had 3 receivers on the field at all times. And he would always, like, I would always get taken out and rotated. The other two would stay in for the whole game. And I would ask questions like, oh, what's up with this? Like, why can't I stay in the whole game? Is it a reason why I'm getting taken out? Like, what's the deal? So I want to say after the last, I think we played Oregon the last game of that pandemic season, and I just wasn't happy. Honestly, I felt like I could have been doing something, could have been doing a lot better somewhere else. And my goal going into college was I want to be 3 years and done. I want to go to the league. I want to enjoy playing. I didn't enjoy playing there because we would be my first year, we were a lot better than we were the second year. We had a lot of talent. We were a pretty good team. And the second year came and we only won one game. We won 1 out of 4 games. So I was irritated. I wasn't happy only because it was like it just didn't feel like football, you know. Like we would go out and we would have all these good players, but we wouldn't, like, offensively we were stagnant, and the head coach was okay with just being having a flat offense. So it just wasn't the right fit for me. So I called my coaches and I told them I'm entering the transfer portal. And I appreciate you guys for taking a vested interest in me out of high school, but this isn't the right fit, and I'm gonna find a new home. So I want to say 3 days after that, I had committed to Mississippi State. Didn't take a visit or anything because it was COVID, so I couldn't even go take a visit. So got down there and it was a huge culture shock.
Yes, it was.
It was crazy. It was crazy out there because, you know, I'm a Cali boy, so I'm used to fast pace, fast motion, buildings, sightseeing, all that type of stuff. I get out there and there's nothing. So that was a real reality check. But I was just grateful just to be in this situation, just to be in a different situation, a fresh start, and, you know, a place where I felt as though I was going to succeed. So, you know, I went there, did my thing, immediately was a starter from, I want to say, the end of spring and then on. I became a starter at the end of spring ball and then for the fall, and then for the rest of the season. And I had these goals written down in my garage, which I'll probably post, I don't know, later, probably down the line sometime. I was working out before I got there, I would say months before I got there, and I wrote down a piece of paper. My dad was like, what's your goal? What do you want out of the new situation? Like, what do you want? What do you see yourself doing? All that stuff. So I wrote down 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, and I put score on more than just screen passes. So I get out there, I get over 1,000 yards, I almost had 10 touchdowns, and I didn't score on any screen. I scored on, you know what I'm saying, like, actually route running and stuff like that. So I felt like that was... And it's crazy because it's still down there in the garage where we work out at. It's collecting dust right now. But man, huge thanks to my parents, because without them, I don't even know if I would have been able to make the decision to transfer by myself, because I felt like, even though I wasn't happy, like if I didn't have them, I probably would have been more willing to stay there, only because I felt like I owed them that. And I don't know why I felt like that, but a part of me felt like, man, like oh, I could, I don't know. I just feel like I could have been there maybe one more year, but that might have, you know what I'm saying, that was just negative thought and stuff like that. But
you answered my next question. I was going to ask you, what part did your parents play in the decision? And it sounds like they were really supportive.
Yeah.
And you know, they were willing to take that leap of faith with you, which I think is, you know, says a lot about, you know, their faith in you and your abilities and your ability to make the right decision.
Right.
No, it's great.
Yeah. It's crazy because they wanted me to transfer before my second season. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to sit out. I want to be able to play. I just wanted to be able to play. That's it. I'm like, I want to play and I'll think about it at the end of the season. I'll think about what I want to do. And when that decision came, I remember sitting in my room, I was tearing up a little bit, because I'm like, man, I gotta go to a new place, I gotta make new friends, I gotta be in an area that I have never been out there before. I've never been in that area before, and it was just like, I gotta start over. And I had got that feeling, I got the same feeling that I got in high school, because I remember 10th and 11th grade, I spent high school, I was playing in LA. I played at the school called Dorsey. So I was down there living with my grandparents. I had no car, had to make new friends, was away from home, missed my brothers, missed my parents and my friends and all that type of stuff. So it felt a little bit like that, but I will say that I adapted really well, and it helped me grow. Not only as a football player, but as a person, it you know what I'm saying, it helped me to just to grow up. It forced me to grow up, actually, because I couldn't go to my parents' house and get a quick meal or anything like that. Sometimes, you know, I would have to cook for myself, or I have to just, you know what I'm saying, stack up on food from the facility or something like that, or go to places around the corner. But even when, you know what I'm saying, I had, like, I would say hiccups when I was on the field, meaning like when I was like going through, I would say fall camp and times were getting hard, you know, I was physically and mentally, I was drained, stuff like that. I couldn't rely on my parents to, you know what I'm saying, go to their house and just go see them or be with them and stuff like that. I had to, I would go back to my room and pray a lot and do that kind of stuff to help center myself. So I would say Mississippi State, or being in Mississippi, taught me a lot. What's the word I want to use for it? Just growing up and becoming a more of a man.
Mm-hmm. It's fun
to do that for a lot of us.
That's an amazing story, man. You know, I wrote a couple things down, Makai. Yeah, you're a dreamer, man. You're a dreamer. Dreamer in a good way, man. Mm. And not afraid, you know. Mm. Elite athletes are not afraid. They grow up, they make changes, they persevere, they're resilient. And that's what you do, man. And I respect that, because a lot of people don't get that. And all the people out there listening today, man, look for this dude, man, Makai Polk, because he's a dreamer and he's resilient. Mm-hmm. Things that elite athletes do, those are common traits with elite athletes. That's good. That's good stuff right there, man. That's great. Yeah. Great story about that, man. People see the glitz and the glamour and stuff, but they don't know about working in the dark, man. And working in the dark is, that's what it's all about if you want to be great. And the common trait, we work in the dark.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, I want to ask another question here, because I always like for there to be some breadcrumbs for some of our high school and young athletes to be able to follow. Yeah. And so you can call it words of wisdom or whatever you want. But I have a question. What's the difference in the levels when you're going from high school to college and college to pros? And what kind of adjustments do you need to make? Because I think that's something that a lot of athletes also don't take into consideration. You know, they just say, okay, I'll get bigger, faster, stronger. Well, yeah, of course, because, you know, 15-year-old isn't the same as a 21-year-old, isn't the same as a 25-year-old. And now that you're going to those three levels and you've actually been to, you know, pro camp, OTAs and that sort of thing, you've gotten a taste, you know, what has kind of, you know, what has stood out to you in terms of making those, you know, what's different at each level and maybe what are some of the adjustments you made, you know, starting with high school and then going to college or even from middle school to high school?
All right. So, yeah, starting going from middle school to high school, I would say a lot of the where I separated myself was I wasn't, you know, just thinking, oh, I want to be a starter on varsity or I want to be the best pro on varsity. Nah, I was thinking ahead. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to go to the NFL. So I wasn't. I will say physically there was a difference transferring from middle school to high school. The kids, you know what I'm saying, were bigger. Obviously, they were faster because of the age difference. But mentally, I would say that's what separates some kids from others, because in high school, you know what I'm saying, you have a lot of kids that are trying to find themselves. They don't know if they want to be a partier or take sports serious, or they don't, you know what I'm saying, they're still trying to find what they want to do. So that leap from junior high to high school wasn't hard, but I will say I will say like physically my body came along. What's it called? I didn't play varsity right away. My ninth grade year, played JV, but it wasn't too much of a difference because I was already had pretty good size, pretty good speed, was pretty strong. Strong enough, I would say. You said what?
Oh, go ahead.
And then after, I would say a transfer from high school to college.
Well, yeah, let me step in real quick, because I really think it's important that kids get your message. Mm-hmm. You said that in essence, from middle school to high school, maybe not necessarily for you, but for other kids, there was a decision to make a commitment to sports.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're finding yourself, you know, there's other things that maybe start to grab your attention, you know, boys is girls, but girls is boys, you know, but you decided to make a commitment to, you know, to the sport. And I think that's important because that doesn't take any physical ability. Just say it's a decision.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to make sure that, you know, these kids out there understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. Your transition from high school to college.
High school to college, I would say going into college, I was thinking like man, I gotta get a lot faster, I gotta get a lot stronger, and I gotta get a lot bigger, because I'm like, these dudes right here, I was thinking that they was just gonna be superheroes and whatnot, and that just wasn't the case when I got to college. Like the line, I would say the linemen and linebackers, they were pretty big, but like skill wise, you know, you had some people that were big and stuff like that. But when you go through a whole program of weight training and stuff like that, your body comes along and you start to catch up with the other guys. So I will say, from high school to college, skill-wise, yes, it does get a little bit better. It does get a little bit better, but I will say that the main difference is right here. You gotta choose between if you wanna be I wouldn't say childish, because everybody goes and parties and stuff like that. Everybody has their fun, but you have to choose a good time for that, and you have to make sacrifices. I will say that's a big key for a lot of people, for a lot of successful people, is making sacrifices in life. I made a lot of sacrifices, and you know what I'm saying, with my transition going into college, because I had to, like, with watching film and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, spend some extra time watching film, spend some extra time running routes, training by yourself, working out, all that type of stuff. But I had to watch, you know what I'm saying, a lot more film than what I did in high school. Like, we watched film as a team in high school, but we wasn't really taking film study seriously. It was like, I was going to go out there and, yeah, we watched a little bit on this team. We're going to go out there and play. We're going to use our physical abilities to beat this team. And that's just going to be that. And that's what kind of set me a little bit ahead when I got to college, was just watching film. And I always watched a lot of people. I watched, you know, receivers like Odell, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, etc., and Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. But I will say watching film helped me a lot with my transition going to college. That helped a lot. And now, transitioning to the NFL, everybody's good. Everybody's good. So it's like, yeah, you might have some people that are physically more talented than other people. But what keeps you, you know, what I've been hearing a lot is that, you know, what keeps people around and what keeps them successful is being ahead of the game mentally, knowing different positions, knowing where to be and when to be there, and just being a student of the game. That's what, you know, I've been hearing a lot. And yeah, just watching a whole lot of film and applying it. So I would say that's the big difference. Cause now with college, we really didn't have a whole bunch of time on our hands, because we were doing stuff from early mornings to late at night, you know what I'm saying, with practice, having meetings and classes and stuff like that, and doing homework. So we had a full day every day. And now it's like, we go in, we work out, have meetings and practice. After that, we have the rest of the day to ourselves. And it's up to you if you gonna go there and trick the rest of your day off, or you know what I'm saying, try to learn this playbook and get better. So I will say with every transition, 80% of it is mental. That's just what it is. So,
yep, that's true. That's true. It is. It's a mental game. You get to that level, Makai. Yeah. And I can attest to that, being where we've been. But a lot of athletes need to understand that, is that as you go to each level, it's not always about, hey, it's always the most talented. It becomes a more of a mental game, and there becomes planning and strategy of what you need to do to make yourself the best. And that was so important right there, that you hit the mental piece, because a lot of young athletes don't understand that, you know. And you hit that, you're a professional athlete now. You said it's mental. You know, you have all this time to yourself. I got to be a student of the game, and you got to be mentally prepared. That says volume about what it needs to be an elite athlete. So that's cool, man. You shared that with them.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like you had to keep growing your sport IQ, you know, at each level. And you said something to me that is important, because, you know, I've had other guys make it to the league, and I always ask them, you know, okay, you made it to the league. What are you going to do to stay in the league? And I don't think a lot of athletes look at it from that standpoint. And, you know, you're just in, and you're already talking about, hey, the thing that I'm hearing is, this is what I got to do to stay in the league. And that, you know, you're finally there. That's the ultimate goal, to stay there, at least as long as you can, you know, you know, physically and emotionally being in the right spot, you know, to enjoy where you're at, because it all ends for everybody. But some of it sooner than others. And, you know, you want to be able to do the right thing. So I'm glad to hear that you're looking at it from that standpoint. Hey, what's the long game for Makai in the NFL? Not, okay, I'm here. Okay, now I'm just going to party and I'm, you know, I'm just going to ball out. I think I'm going to ball out. And, you know, that, but that says a lot to, you know, again, where you come from, man. And, you know, the values that you've got. But I think the younger athletes can learn from that. They can learn that, hey, you're not going to be able to out physical everybody all the time, you know, in track and field. You get to a point where everyone pretty much has the same physical ability. Yeah, there's those, you know, superhumans or whatever you want to call them. But us mere mortals, you know, still we're always working, and it's about doing things better, being more efficient with your abilities, being more efficient with your time, you know, to train and learn. And those are things or habits that can start, you know, in middle school. And then they just become habit. They just become second nature. So, I mean, that's kind of what I got out of your story there. Mm-hmm. But it's been great, man. EJ, did you want to add anything, ask any other thing while we got this young man? Because I know, you know, we're Zooming now, but once you get out to Baltimore, I know it's going to be hard to get some good time. So I'm glad that you spent this time with us. We hope to get you back again. One, check in on you. Two, to get some more insight on what it's like at that level. I know these kids don't always have a view or a window into that level of sports, and I think that the curtain needs to be pulled back so that they have their eyes wide open into what they're trying to step into.
And yeah,
I think you can play a part in that.
Thank you.
Well, I'd love to have him back again, Aaron. Makai, man, I only wish you the best, brother. It's good to hear your story. I've seen you in the shop working out, and I just said, that guy is an athlete. You know, when I say athlete, professional athlete, because the way you go about it, man, I respect what you do, man. It's always a pleasure to speak to another elite dude, man. So, hey, all my best, man. All my best.
Hey, everybody. Makai Polk, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. Keep an eye out for him. We'll be watching. Thanks, bro.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
All right.